Top of the agenda for leaders at the G20 summit is the crisis engulfing the Korean Peninsula following Pyongyang test firing its first intercontinental ballistic missile earlier this week. The US President Donald Trump has called for strong global action on North Korea, but in New York later today, 120 nations will map out a different plan for ensuring global nuclear safety, signing a landmark UN treaty to ban nuclear weapons. The effectiveness of this treaty, though, is under question. None of the world's nuclear powers intend to sign it, nor does Australia. Laura Rockwood heads the Vienna Centre for Disarmament and Non-Proliferation. Laura Rockwood, welcome to breakfast.
Well, welcome to you as well. Thank you for the call, Fran.
Laura, this treaty that's going to be signed later today in New York, what does it say? What's its point?
Well, the point of it is to actually prohibit nuclear weapons and work towards their total elimination. It was triggered by a UN General Assembly resolution adopted earlier and authorized a conference to be established to negotiate this treaty. This is the second and final round of the negotiations, and it is anticipated that tomorrow, that is to say 7 July New York time, the text will be adopted, and I understand it will be opened for signature in September, on the 20th of September, so it won't actually be signed tomorrow.
And I don't want to rush to diminish the importance of this treaty, but given that a country, well, Australia's not signing it, but neither are any of the countries that already have nuclear power or nuclear ambitions, and most of the NATO countries aren't signing it either. So how effective is this treaty likely to be? Is it still born, in a sense?
Right. You know, you have... it's not clear how effective it's going to be honest. I think the negotiators are hoping, rather than creating a binding treaty that will immediately result in the elimination of nuclear weapons, it will start to create a norm against the possession of nuclear weapons. But what you have is, on the one hand, a very large number of non-nuclear weapon states who want to see them banned altogether. But on the other hand, you not only have the nuclear weapon states or the nuclear armed states, shall we say, you also have those non-nuclear weapon states which are under the protection of the nuclear umbrella of those states.
Like Australia.
For example, yes. And it's not clear how effective this will be in promoting the elimination of nuclear weapons as opposed to increasing the divide between these countries. Mm.
Yes. So how important is this? I mean, you're exactly right. The position of the Australian government and our department is, you know, we're arguing for suggestion that the world is becoming a more dangerous and volatile place, and that, for instance, the situation in North Korea is exactly the reason why we need US nuclear umbrella, which provides vital deterrence and protects Australia. So nuclear deterrence is once again the argument.
That is exactly the argument. And there are those, I think there are arguments on both sides, and I'm rather agnostic, I must say, about the value of the treaty, but I understand its motivation, and I understand why there are states who are concerned about its precipitousness. You can't simply take away nuclear weapons and not replace them with some other kind of security. Now, there are those who argue that there must be other mechanisms, and I would hope they can find them. But that's the problem. In the current political environment, you can't simply A, wish nuclear weapons away, or B, eliminate them without replacing them with some other mechanism that is able to stabilize the global security, if you will.
Yeah, so the Australian argument is exactly that, that the treaty ignores what it calls geopolitical reality, that everyone would like to see a world without nuclear weapons, but, you know, in an increasingly volatile world, we need them. But Australia is championing what's called a building blocks approach to press nuclear states to be more transparent about their nuclear arsenals and dismantle facilities used to produce fissile material. Do you see anything positive in that, or is that what you somewhat describe as a holding pattern?
No, I think that's not only positive but a constructive approach to it, given the position, the positions, if you will, of the nuclear armed states, and by nuclear armed, that's more than just the five NPT nuclear weapon states. It also includes Israel, India, Pakistan, and North Korea. Mm. So the problem that I see is that the nuclear armed states, instead of acknowledging the frustration of countries like Australia and those under the umbrella and the other non-nuclear weapon states who don't want nuclear weapons, they don't seem to be responding to that call. They seem rather to be digging in their heels and saying, we won't be pushed around by them. There's a clear consensus that the nuclear weapon states really could afford to do more to implement its obligations under the Non-Proliferation Treaty to take steps to dismantle. Mm. And I think the Australian approach, it's supported by many countries, is, you know, let's identify steps that can be taken and build into the elimination of nuclear weapons. I think the Russians and the Americans have drawn down a lot of their nuclear weapons since they first possessed them. But in the last few years, there's been very, very little movement in the area of arms control and less in the area of actual disarmament. And it's starting to really frustrate the non-nuclear weapon state. Well,
frustration is one thing, but frightening is another. Laura Rockwood, thank you very much.
My pleasure, and thank you very much, Fran.
Laura Rockwood is head of the Vienna Center for Disarmament and Non-Proliferation.